The hard part of test driving a Macintosh isn't taking it home. The hard part isn't plugging it in. The hard part of test driving a Macintosh isn't even learning how to use it. The hard part of taking Macintosh out for a test drive is bringing it back.
Hello, and welcome to Hellcast, the best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah. Join me today. He's buff. He's rough. He's so tough. He lives in a van, and he writes stories for a living. Apple stories, that is. Buster Heine is here.
Oh, hey.
Just the two of us.
Man, I wish I could take a whole summer off of work.
Dude, like, seriously.
Lewis and Leander.
Lewis is on vacation, for those of you that didn't know. He is in Portugal! Leander is in Alabama. I saw him. He had a picture posted on his Instagram of his kids being total weenies. They're in the water and they're scared of some shark. Did you see the size of that shark? It was tiny.
That was awesome.
So Leander is out swimming in the ocean, having a delightful time. And I realize that I don't think either of them are going to be back for at least a couple weeks. We'll see. They might be back. We might get one of them back next week. I would just like to point out we're on episode 342, and I have never missed a single one. So no vacations for me.
Actually, what?
It's crazy. That's
seriously, like one of the most impressive feats, I think.
I could tell some stories of some of the things that have happened in my life, and I have still recorded a show that day. I don't think people would believe me. There are some crazy stories. I mean, because you know, life happens, and sometimes you just don't have time to record and edit and release a show. But you know, I'm beginning. I'll stop patting myself on the back here. We got so many. We have some great Apple stories this week. Surprisingly, there was some good stuff this week because it's been really slow. Here's what we got.
Yeah.
Apple has finally acknowledged its new MacBook keyboards suck, and they have extended the warranty for those. So if you have a newer MacBook Pro or if you're thinking about getting one, this is great news. We'll tell you about that. Apple has new plans for improved AirPods and additional HomePod. Of course, you knew this was going to happen. And over the ear studio quality headphones. We got some new details out this week from the Germinator over at Bloomberg. We'll talk about that. And then we have some other information that came out this week from top analyst Ming-Chi Kuo about the new iPhones that are going to be releasing and when they'll be releasing. And then some information on some potential new Mac products. We'll cover that. And then we're going to wrap up with what I thought was a really interesting story. No one was really talking about this week, but I read this story about this problem that Apple is trying to solve with their autonomous vehicle. And this is a problem that happens in all autonomous vehicles. And they've hired a fascinating guy to help them solve this problem. So at the end of the show, I'll tell you what the problem is, and then we'll talk about this guy that they've hired and why I think that he's so compelling and why I got so excited when I found out about what he's doing for Apple. And I probably went down a 90-minute rabbit hole investigating this guy. He's one of those guys that's so talented that just kind of makes you depressed with your own life. You're like, you think you're doing pretty well, and then you see a guy like this, and you're like, what the hell am I doing with my life? This guy's killing it. I thought I was doing pretty well. This guy is killing it. He's murdering it. The carcass it's done. It's already gone. He's already murdered it. And he's just triumphing in every aspect of his life. I was like, geez. Anyway, I'm already fawning on him so hard. We got to save it for the end of the show. Before we dive into this week's news, let me go ahead and give a thanks to Pitney Bowes for supporting this episode. No matter what your small office needs or sends, Pitney Bowes Send Pro C200 has you covered. The C200 lets you send mail and packages right from your desk. Plus, you save 3 cents a letter and up to 39% off retail shipping rates. Start saving today and get a 60-day free trial of a Pitney Bowes C200. Visit them online at pb.com/cultcast. That's pb.com/cultcast. Terms and conditions do apply. You're going to love having to never go to the post office. Again, I can speak from experience. No one wants to go to the post office. It's like going to the DMV. You never want to go in there if you can avoid it, if at all possible. Also want to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you need a website, you need to check out Squarespace. I have been using Squarespace for about 4 years now, and I love it. I pay for it every single month. They don't give it to me for free. I use it for thecultcast.com, which is where we host the show notes. And I also use it for cultcloth.co, which is the e-commerce site for Cultcloth. And I built both of those websites in just a small amount of time, maybe 30 minutes to an hour. And the cool thing about Squarespace is it's very easy to set up and maintain. They have all these beautiful templates that you can select from. And then via their drag and drop system, you can totally customize everything. So even though it's easy to use, it's also very powerful. You can make the website look uniquely yours. And they are constantly updating the site with new stuff, new templates, new features, like they added Apple Pay integration. And they're also adding new integrations with different services. So for instance, I have this shipping service that's connected to my cultcloth.co e-commerce site. So whenever an order comes in, it will notify us and it will keep everything nice and orderly. Plus, we can use it to ship everything out. It just allows us to do all of our shipping from the e-commerce site without having to do any work. It makes everything way simpler. Squarespace has a ton of integrations with services just like that. If you're ready to get started with a website, if you need to sell products online, maybe you want to promote your physical business, maybe you just want to promote your skill set, head to squarespace.com/cultcast. Get signed up for a free trial, build a website. If you like what you have after the 2-week free trial, use code cultcast at checkout and you will save 10% off your first order at squarespace.com/cultcast. Okay, Buster, let's talk about this keyboard news because this was big news and I'm so happy that they did this because this was something that I was genuinely worried about. I didn't want to buy a new MacBook Pro because I was scared that the keyboard was going to break, and it's been breaking for a lot of people. It seems like Apple has finally acknowledged that and they're making it right.
Yeah, they finally said that their keyboard sucks, which is really great because hopefully that means that they're not going to use this bad thinner design on the new MacBooks, mm-hmm. or hopefully they'll perfect
it. They didn't specifically say that the keyboard sucks. I don't think they put it that way.
Well, they said that they had a small percentage of like defects or issues with it. A small percentage of users, but very vocal small percent of users. And they're offering like free repairs for anybody that has one and wants to get it replaced or repaired. I think if you've already had it done before, like gotten your keyboard repaired, they'll give you an Apple Store credit, I think, or money.
Oh, that's
back.
It? An Apple Store credit? I thought they were giving refunds.
Usually Apple's refunds come in like the form of an Apple Store credit.
That would make more sense than just cutting you a check.
I'm not totally sure on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in any case, the program covers, there's a whole list of eligible MacBook and MacBook Pro models. I think these are just for models after 2015 where the butterfly keyboard was implemented. But it covers your computer for 4 years after the first retail sale date. I don't think it matters if you bought your computer used. Apple's really great about that. The warranties always still apply even for used models because they're able to track when your computer was first sold. They must have some agreement with their retailers that their retailers let them know when the computer's serial number gets activated or something, because they can always tell you exactly how long your warranty lasts. So 4 years from the original date of purchase. And if you have letters or characters that repeat unexpectedly, you're having keyboard problems. If you have letters or characters that do not appear when you're typing, that means you're having the keyboard problem. So this is way more broad than I originally thought, where I thought the keyboards were just sticking. No, people are having all sorts of weird issues. Yeah. And then if your keys are sticky, then and they're not, you know, going back up after you press them, then Apple will fix that. And if you're Leander Caney, I mean, you probably have good reason why your keyboard, you know, is sticky, you know, like you spilled a Coke on it, or you're using your keyboard for purposes which they really weren't designed to handle. Leander Caney is really gross, actually.
Yeah. I was going to say some unfamily-friendly
things. Yeah, well, we'll
keep
it. We'll let people's imaginations fill in the blank there. So, good on Apple. I know some people are still going to be mad because they thought that Apple should have addressed this earlier. I happen to agree, but at least they're addressing it now. I wonder what's going to happen with these class action lawsuits, though, because there's two class action lawsuits that are out there.
Oh.
And what do you do with that?
Well, same thing with the battery replacement lawsuits that are out there too, right? Because those are still...
Are they still ongoing?
Going around for Apple. I think so, right? I don't know. I try not to follow all these boring legal cases levied against Apple, which, by the way, the legal war between Samsung and Apple, that ended yesterday, officially, supposedly.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
And the details of the case, though, have not been disclosed. But it just seems, I was reading about it, and it seemed like Apple and Samsung were just tired of spending hundreds of millions of dollars. Can you imagine how much they've spent on legal fees?
Yeah, they probably spent more on legal fees than Apple is going to get.
They may have.
Like the actual thing. Because I think, you know, last it was like $500 million, which they've had some high-powered lawyers going at this for 7 years. So who knows?
Right? And a high-powered lawyer might get paid $500, $600 an hour. And Apple has deep pockets. More. They're not getting any discounts. So, the Apple-Samsung legal battle has, I think, officially come to an end. But we don't know any of the details about it, so that's all we can say. So let's move on to this very exciting news about Apple's new AirPods, the new HomePod, and their quote-unquote studio-quality over-the-ear headphones. The Gerbnator, back at it, with more details on some of this stuff that's being created by this team at Apple that is just doing a bang-up job, in my opinion. They're creating some of Apple's best products, including the AirPods and some of the home audio products that we hear about or that we have these days. So Bloomberg is saying that we could have some new exciting Apple products, Apple audio products, in 2019, as early as 2019. The next version of the AirPods, according to Bloomberg, will add noise canceling, increased Bluetooth range, which, by the way, the Bluetooth range on the AirPods are already amongst the best I have ever used. You can get so far away from your iPad and iPhone and still have them work. You don't have a pair, do you, Buster?
You're making me want a pair. No, I have another pair of Bluetooth earbuds that are quite horrible to use, but they work.
I don't
want to throw down on AirPods. Well, if new ones are coming out, I don't want to buy the old ones.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think you should, because I'm hoping that they're going to include that new case that will work with the Air Power Mat.
Yeah.
If they charge an additional amount for that as a separate accessory, I think they're crazy. I hope they don't do that, but I have a feeling that's what they're going to do. And he also says that they're going to be water resistant, so it will protect them better against rain and sweat. They're not going to be used for swimming or anything crazy like that. And then he went on to say, and this is really interesting, this would be really cool, that Apple has been tinkering with adding biometric sensors to future AirPods, like a heart rate monitor, to expand their health-related hardware offerings beyond just the Apple Watch, which makes sense because the health stuff seems to be so popular.
We've seen a lot of patents for that.
We have?
Yeah. I think there's... Yeah, we've seen patents for that like a few years ago, and I think there are other companies that might already be trying to do this. So that would actually be super awesome, especially if you don't have an Apple Watch that has a heart rate monitor, or you could toss it all into the AirPods while you're doing that. Maybe it's even more accurate because it's in your...
It's like right next to your brain.
I'm not a doctor. Right? Yeah.
which clearly would make it more accurate because it's next to your brain. And that's where all like the activity is happening, right? So maybe they can just measure your pulse from your brain waves. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but you know.
Zip, zip. Right. I think it's possible.
Well, as you would expect, the new AirPods, if they feature all this technology, will probably be pricier than the current AirPods, which I don't even care. If they work all that stuff in, I would pay more for them. Actually, I would pay more for my AirPods just as is. You could routinely get them for $139 these days. Costco has sales on them all the time, even though I think the full price is $159. But if Apple just raised the price to $200 and didn't add anything, I would be angry, but I would still buy them. I think they're just that good. I use mine all the time. All the time. It's probably one of my most used pieces of technology. So, and then let's talk about studio quality over-the-ear headphones. So Apple is supposedly aiming to compete with expensive headphones, like the kinds out by Bose and Sennheiser. These would be put out under the Apple brand rather than the Beats brand. And Apple supposedly supposed to release these sometime in... They were going to release these supposedly sometime in 2018, but they ran into issues and challenges with them, and they've been pushed back to perhaps 2019. We don't know exactly when those will be released. I wonder how much they're going to charge for those, you know? Because Sennheisers can be $500, $600, $1,000, $3,000. So now I'm kind of like, well, geez, how nice are these going to be? You know, are these going to be for audiophiles? Or are these going to just be a nicer version of over-the-ear wireless headphones and maybe run you like $700. We'll have to wait and find out. Finally, the one that I've been waiting for. There's also a report that there's going to be a new HomePod on the way. I'm hoping it's going to be bigger and not like a HomePod mini. I want something bigger, beefier, stronger. I want it to be the Buster Keine of HomePods. You like that? And wow. not the Lewis Wallace. Not the mini, not the mini version. I mean the medium-sized version. That's what I meant to say. But unfortunately, there are no other details besides that, except that they're working on it and it might come out sometime next year. Do any of those accessories get your beard wet, Buster?
AirPods would be cool. New AirPods, because I don't have any. And even though they do look really freaking dorky still, I see a lot of people with them.
Yeah, and they're terrible.
They look convenient. The convenience factor looks really nice.
Convenience factor, to quote a popular saying from the 90s, it's off the chain.
The problem with the earbuds that I have now are pairing them to my iPhone and MacBook is always such a pain. Like, I have to go in and like make the iPhone forget the earbuds, then put them back into pairing mode. Then like sometimes they won't even work, or like on my MacBook the audio still won't send it to the AirPods or earbuds, and I'm just like, oh, it's a painful experience.
I do have some of those problems with AirPods. I don't have to pair them per se, but because I have them connected to so many devices, whenever I put them in, I don't really ever know what device they're connected to. You know, it's like, did they just connect to my iPad? Did they connect to my iPhone? I never really know until I go and look. I also have them paired to my PC that I use. So, which, yes, you can do, and actually it works pretty well. And some pieces of technology get greedy with Bluetooth accessories. Like, my PC always wants to connect. If they're near my AirPods and I put my AirPods in, my PC always wants to connect to them. And even if I disconnect and try to connect them to my iPhone, my PC will somehow overrule that decision and reconnect to my AirPods. So I have to go into my Bluetooth settings on my PC and say, stop connecting to the AirPods. Now, that's probably a PC thing. That's probably not an AirPods thing. But I do have connection issues every once in a while. And yes, they do look really terrible. There's just no getting around that. We've talked about that so many times on this show. They just look so dorky. There's no way to wear them and wear them discreetly. They just poke out of your ears and they look like earrings. I hope they make them look better for the next iteration, although I bet you they'll look exactly like how they look now for quite a while. Speaking of new products, Buster, we had some news this week about the new iPhones coming out and when they might be coming out, and some potential Mac news. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Tons of news from Apple's finest analyst, Ming-Chi Kuo. He's with a different company now, but he's still covering Apple stuff. If you've ever heard of his name, he usually gets stuff right. Or he has like a good idea on what's kind of being brewed about in Apple's production lines. And he kind of came out with a big report on everything that might probably happen this year. First off, new MacBook Airs later this year. Didn't say anything about MacBook Pros, though, so that's kind of concerning. And then he said that the Apple's going to have like the LCD cheap version of the iPhone X. It's going to be like 6.1 inches, comes out this fall. And they think it'll probably be their most popular phone because it's supposed to be $600 to $700.
I can't believe they're going to get it that low. That's insanely low.
Well, it would be the LCD display, which would really help. And then Face ID hardware is probably going to be cheaper now. And I don't know about the design. I think it's supposed to be exactly like the iPhone X, just like larger.
That's what I've been hearing too.
Slightly.
I guess a more cheaply constructed version of the iPhone X.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then they're also going to come out with a bigger version of the iPhone X, and then probably also an updated version of the iPhone X. And what they're going to call all those things, ain't nobody know.
Oh, yeah, good question.
So that could be interesting. Like, is Apple finally just going to do away with numerology? At some point it has to, because it's getting ridiculous.
I hope not. I like naming products with numbers. And you always know exactly what you're talking about. Like, when they went to just iPad, I really hated when they did that. I wish we were still using numbers for everything. Because otherwise, I mean, that would be like if they called Mac OS just Mac OS. Like, we have a new version of Mac OS, and then when you're having a conversation, you never know exactly
what
version.
If they call it Mac OS Mojave, you know? Like, that's what I like referring to it as. Like, I would prefer referring to them as, it's like, High Sierra, Sierra, Mountain Lion. It was way easier instead of OS 10.13, you know? It's just...
It's too damn confusing.
I'm a human. I like words.
Me too. I like unique identifiers, and I like them to be in an orderly fashion. That's why I like numbers. You always know exactly what version you're talking about. You're like, wait, did Mac Sierra come out before High Mojave? And you're like, you start conflating everything together.
True. I like, okay. Fair enough.
I like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like boom, boom, boom. You always know exactly what you're talking about. And you know what the current version is. Some guys can keep all that straight, but I'm like, who's got time to keep all those names straight? I can't. But we'll see what they end up calling it. There's also supposed to be a new iPad equipped with Face ID. Man, I have seen some crazy prices on the current iPad Pro 10.5 inch. They are liquidating those things for sure. I've been seeing those sale online. I saw one the other day. 64 gigs, it was $460. $460 brand new. Yeah, that sale was going on for 2 weeks.
Dude, I kind of want one.
You do?
Dang. Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, because the new iPad Pro is going to be so expensive.
Right,
so
but it's going to have Face ID.
Even though it'll have Face ID and like better gestures and... better hardware and just better everything. But
right. That's why I couldn't get.
You
don't want to spend $700 for it.
I don't spend 40. I'm thinking like for like the good iPad Pro. Plus, I want to get one with like LTE built in. I think for my work, and like it's gonna be at least $1,000 for an iPad.
Yeah, which is crazy for an iPad. iPad Pro. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't spend $1,000 for an iPad. I almost bought one of the 10.5-inch iPad Pros. I had my credit card information entered in, and I was hovering over the submit button. I could not get myself to do it because I knew we're going to be getting the new iPads or the new iPad Pros sometime soon, and I just couldn't get myself to give up on whatever new features they're going to be announcing.
Oh.
Plus, there's also in the back of my mind, there's that voice saying, you don't need a new iPad. Your current iPad, I have the iPad Air 2. It works just fine. All you do is you use it to watch YouTube videos before you go to bed. You watch Ninja. You use it to watch Dr. Disrespect. You don't need an iPad Pro to watch Dr. Disrespect. He's going to look just as beautiful on the current iPad that you have. Or get a regular iPad. Those things are insanely powerful now.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was thinking about. But even doing what I wanted with that, it's like a $700 iPad. Once you add LTE and way more storage.
Geez, no way.
It's still pricey.
If I were going to have to kit it out and spend that much money on an iPad, I probably would just go for the Pro. Just go for the Pro at that point. It's like, just spend the extra $300, get the best that money can buy. Do you want me to let you know if I find another sale on them?
Yeah, hit me up.
Yeah, I will. And as you mentioned, sadly, nothing about Macs. He didn't say anything about Macs besides a new, more inexpensive MacBook Air. Now, that could mean something. It could mean nothing. I'm expecting Apple to do a orgasmic hardware presentation in September. It's going to be nipple stiff for like 2 hours of Tim Cook just being boom, y'all, boom, y'all, boom, y'all. And we're all going to be sitting there totally aroused. They have to update all their Macs, and I think it's going to happen this September.
But that's going to be a really big event, you know? If they have it all in one event, new Apple Watch, new iPads, three new iPhones, plus new MacBook Air. Wow.
Like, I know. That's what I'm saying, dude.
A lot to unveil. Like, I'm going to be surprised. I would think they would break it into two events, maybe.
You might be right. You might be right, because they want to keep the... Because
they used to do that.
They used to do that, but now it seems like... Like with WWDC.
They're just trying to get them all in one.
They just do two events. Yeah. Like, boom, here's all the software. Boom, here's all the hardware. And then silence for the rest of the year. You hear nothing. That seems to be the way that they're going. So we'll see what happens. Maybe they will break it into two events. We'll have to wait and see. But I do hope, I do pray that we get new MacBook Pros. And they're having crazy sales on the current MacBook Pros now, too. because they're going to be coming out with new ones probably in September. Oh, and that was the other thing that we forgot to mention. So Ming-Chi Kuo said that the cheaper version of the new iPhone is expected to be announced and launched in September of this year, which would mean that all the iPhones would probably be announced and released at the same time, which would mean the new Macs would probably be released around that time as well if we have one mega super orgasmic hardware events. So we'll have to wait and see. But that's not very far away at all. We're 2 months away from that. You know, maybe 2.5 yep. months away from that. So it could be exciting times very soon. Yeah. We can only pray. Okay. Let's move on to the last story of the show. This was a story that I found to be very interesting. Not very many people were talking about it this week. Apple is trying to solve a very interesting problem with autonomous vehicles. Buster, when was the last time you rode in a car and you weren't driving?
Well, never.
What I didn't realize is it's a very common problem for people who are passengers in a car to get motion sickness, even though it's far less common for the driver to get it. What?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about when was the last time I rode an autonomous vehicle, like I wasn't driving.
Oh.
Like, but yeah, yeah, I get car sickness all the time.
You're kidding?
Similar.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you're just riding shotgun in the car, you get sick. I was driving in the car with somebody recently, and I was trying to work on a laptop, which is probably a really stupid thing to do, and I got violently sick, like turning green sick. And it occurred to me that, oh, wow, I'm getting motion sickness, and I'm so rarely a passenger in the car that I never knew that this was something that could happen to me. Well, that's a major problem for passengers, and that is a problem that Apple is trying to work on right now. And they have this very interesting guy they've hired to help them try to fix this problem. His name is Mark Rober. And according to Variety, he is an Apple engineer. He's part of their special projects group. And this guy is one of the most wildly creative people I've run into in a long time. He has a YouTube channel that I had never heard of until I was doing research for this piece. And he has like 3.5 million subscribers. His style is really cool. He's like the Casey Neistat of science videos. So if you think back to when you were in school, there was that teacher who made that one topic really interesting, and he was so good at teaching it that it made you interested in that topic. That's like what this guy does. He does these really dynamic, fun to watch science videos with all these wild experiments, and the editing is polished. It's top notch. The creativity of the videos is just wild and out there, and he gets massive views on his YouTube channel. Some of his videos get like a few hundred thousand views. Some of his videos, one of them has like 100 million views, which is insane. 100 million views is 30 million views more than that Bengate, iPhone 6 Bengate video that Lewis Helsentager from Unbox Therapy did. And that was like world news. This video that he did, I forget which one it was on his channel that got 100 million views. It was like how to peel a watermelon or something really weird. But anyway, this is the guy that Apple has hired. He's an engineer. He's wildly creative. And he is helping Apple to figure out how to use VR to solve this issue of people getting sick in autonomous vehicles, because in an autonomous vehicle, everyone is a passenger. And this is a problem I'd never thought of before. If you're sitting in a car, you're not driving, and you're trying to do something else, maybe read a book, work on your laptop. If you've ever tried to do that in a car, many people are not able to do that because it makes them want to hurl, and it will make you very ill. And so it's a serious problem if you're trying to build an autonomous vehicle. How do you solve that problem? So there was a patent that recently came out regarding VR, and this guy, Mark Rober, is accredited as one of the inventors of the patent, and he's trying to help Apple use VR to combat this motion sickness that you get. And this is one of those guys that gives me hope for Apple that they're hiring top-tier talent like this, and this is one of those guys that makes you realize there are people out there that are way smarter than me, way more creative than me, and I'm doing my life wrong, and I'm totally depressed about this now. It's got me thinking, what other kind of guys out there are doing work at this caliber where you run into them, and they're so good at what they do that it makes you realize there's like this whole higher echelon of person, this whole higher caliber of person that you didn't even know was out there doing work that you really are just not capable of doing in your current state. And I was wondering what other guys that you maybe have run across that make you feel that same way, who make you just want to give up and not be creative anymore. You know what I mean?
Like, I would say it's also that I have the opposite feeling of, like, this person. It's Yoon Olsen. He's, I've talked about him before on about YouTube. But he's like, kind of like a full-time YouTuber now. He used to be, like, a pro skier for Red Bull. But he has a YouTube channel, and now he has, like, 1 million subscribers. And he has, like, his own baggage company, and he, like, mods cars. But he also just travels all around the world with his, like, wife and his camera guy, making like these super high quality YouTube vlogs. And it's just like he used to use like Red cameras and just like the most high quality production stuff you could think of just for his like daily vlogs. And like the quality was insane that he was coming out with this every day. Like Casey Neistat pumps out a lot of content, but it's not necessarily like the best looking. The storytelling is always phenomenal. But, like, Yoon's stuff is just, like, insanely gorgeous. And just, like, his hustle and drive, you're just like, oh, man, what am I doing with my life? I can, like, barely do – I'm barely doing anything compared to this guy who's, like, he's jet-setting all over the world, taking these meetings, going, like, surfing and skiing and all kinds of crazy places. Of course, like, he's got money to do that.
He's
got to
be a millionaire.
Also, like,
he's got such nice houses. Well, he's always driving these incredible cars. And I think that, for me, is – do you call him Yoon? I thought his name was John.
Well, it's you pronounce it Yoon.
Okay, Yoon.
Yeah, spell it J-O-N.
That
yeah.
was the appeal of it for me. When I first saw his videos, I was like, dude, this guy is – he's living like he is a multimillionaire, but he's probably in his 20s. What does this guy do for a living? I think that's the big appeal that draws people in.
Well, he's like 35, and he's definitely a multimillionaire because he was one of the biggest like freestyle skiers ever. Mm-hmm. He invented like the kangaroo flip. He won a lot of X Games. He was one of like Red Bull's first sponsored athletes before Red Bull was huge. So he, you know, has tons of love from Red Bull, and he also has like his own apparel company. And also, he like mods these cars and then sells them somehow, like to all kinds of people too. Like his latest one, he converted a G-Wagon into like a convertible.
Oh, I saw that video.
It was sexy.
It was very sexy. It was like a $300,000 car at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got some really good stuff on YouTube. I've been following him for a while too, and he does make some compelling content. And his videos are just, I think his lifestyle is just so interesting, and he's always doing like these cool creative things.
Oh, I was just going to say, he's also very positive. So like, I don't know. I guess it's easier to be positive if you have that lifestyle. I don't know. But maybe that's also an effect of it. Like when bad things happen to him, they're always like pretty cheered about it, like stoked on like the bad things that go wrong too. So I don't know, it's a pretty cool guy.
Which might be easier when you have millions of bucks in the bank. You're like, oh well, yeah, at least I have a beautiful home in the the Italian Alps, and you know, I've got billions of dollars in the bank. But maybe not. There are a lot of rich people out there who are not happy with their lives too. So I think that positive vibe in videos, it's like the Cultcast, positive vibes, man. We keep it positive on this show for the most part, you know, unless we get Lander going off on something that he doesn't like, which but it's still positive because we get to sit there and laugh. If I had to choose someone that I think is doing absolutely insane work right now, it's really easy. It's really easy for me. It's Guy Beam, a.k.a. The Doc, Dr. Disrespect. He is the face of Twitch. I think he is making some of the best content, period. Not just on the internet. I take into account movies. I take into account television. He is making some of the best content that is out there. He is wildly entertaining and extraordinarily creative. He has created this personality, this character that he broadcasts for 7 to 8 hours a day in character. It's super funny. He comes up with all these wild shenanigans on his streams, yet he's also really good at the games that he streams. He streams a lot of Fortnite these days because all the kids want to see people play Fortnite. And he also streams PUBG. And he is changing the way people think about Twitch broadcasting. Twitch broadcasting, when it first started, was like the cat videos on YouTube. People just posting videos of them playing video games, just being themselves. And then along comes this guy And he just takes it to a level that no one else had even ever considered. He has all these really dynamic virtual sets that he weaves into his broadcast. So he creates like this whole world that you that he shows to you. It looks like he lives in like this really crazy Twitch streaming world with all these virtual sets that he's constantly inhabiting. And then he does like these speeches from like these different sets that he's created. And they're all really fun, and they make you feel like you're in that world with him. You're part of the, he calls it the Champions Club. He used to call it the Slick Daddy Club, but he changed it, I'm sure, to appease his sponsors. Now it's called the Champions Club, and he always talks about how the Champions Club is like this big family, and they're all there watching like these games together, and they're all part of the same community. And that is a big part of his shtick, is community, right? He's building an online gaming community that is surrounding him and his content and having a great time. And dude, he's just such a badass. He's just such an alpha male. You just can't help but love the guy, because he's just so alpha. There's something about guys who are just mega alpha that I love. It's like they have so much bravado, and they're so full of themselves that you can't help but laugh, you know? I don't know if it's just me, but there's guys out there that are like that that I just find to be wildly entertaining. And he's one of those guys, when you see him, what he's doing on Twitch, I just think, how could you possibly compete with this? I don't know how you can do anything that would be better than what he's doing. Like, this is the best that it gets. And I don't know who's going to come along and take his place. But actually, surprisingly, Ninja just is himself and has, I think, more engagement than Dr. Disrespect does. But he's like one of the best Fortnite players in the world. And Fortnite is one of the most popular games in the world. So he's making millions of dollars a year just playing Fortnite. Anyone else that you could think of, Buster? Any other guys that really make you want to just retire and go work on a farm for the rest of your life?
Not really, because just, well, in some, no, not really. I try not to think of it that way. I just try to think of it like people who are doing awesome stuff, and it makes you want to like do awesome stuff yourself.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Word. I hear that. Now, that's oftentimes how I feel too, but sometimes when you run across a creator who's so good, you're like, wow, this guy is just doing stuff I never would have dreamed of doing. I'll link to all this stuff in the show notes. If you want to check out this Apple Engineers channel, Mark Rober, and you should absolutely check it out. He's got some really cool videos that you'll have fun watching, and you'll get to see the caliber of talent that Apple is bringing in to work on some of these really cool projects. And I'm just excited to see what he does, because if he's this inventive on his YouTube channel, I'm sure he's bringing this inventiveness to the solutions that he's being presented with on this autonomous car project. So it just makes me excited to see what Apple comes up with in that regard. I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there. What do you say, Buster?
Oh, it sounds great, y'all.
So, let's do it. All right. Let's go ahead. Let's do it, dude. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cool casts we have for you guys this week. Hey, we're on Twitter. Buster's at BST3R. I'm at Airfon, if you want to keep up with the cool creative endeavors that we have going on in our lives. Plus, if there's someone on YouTube, or if there's someone that's super creative that you love in your life, I would love to hear who those people are. I always love to check those people out. So tweet at us, send us some links, send us what you know. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every single Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Boom! Whew. Fiery. That was fiery, wasn't it?
Damn.
Damn, I'm sweating. Are you?
Yeah, but only because I'm freaking in the back of a van. Oh.
Yo.
What's up?
How you living? How you living? What? How you living?
Coming to you live from the van, you know.
That was your cue to say, in living color.
Oh, you know, I'm not old enough to know that show.
I figured. And I was going to say, you can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Missed opportunity.
Yeah. Sorry, man. Yeah, right. Really missed out on that wave, whatever it was, in the 80s, I think.
Yeah. That was 90s. That was 90s.
That was 90s? Really? Living Color was in the 90s?
Yeah, because it launched Jim Carrey. It launched Keenan Ivory Wayans. It launched Jamie Foxx. It launched Jennifer Lopez. Damn, it launched so many people.
Damn.
Did you know that Jennifer Lopez started as a... She was a fly dancer. She started as a fly dancer on Living Color.
What is a fly dancer?
It was just these girls in really short shorts that danced. Pretty much your dream job.
Oh, that's actually a good idea.